News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester Today with Tom Ostrom. I take it you walked over today.
Yeah, it was a little icy in spots. Must have rained last night. And then in shady areas, it was clear ice.
It couldn't have been rain. It had to be just like...
melting.
Yeah, melting. Yeah, there could have been some ice fog this morning, too, I suppose.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Huh. Because it's, what, 46 now? It's gorgeous out.
If you're walking in the shade this morning, be careful.
Okay.
Look down.
There you go. There's your sidewalk report from Tom Ostrom to start out the show. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that. But, yeah, it's always there. I remember one time, this has been, you know, three decades ago, driving as a very inexperienced driver on Elton Hills Drive, right by where the Elton Hills Elementary School is. There's a curve in the road there, and it had that frozen frost in the morning, and you couldn't see it. You had no idea it was there.
Clear.
It looked like dry pavement. Next thing you know, I was sideways into a snowbank.
Oh, boy.
Thank goodness there's nobody around. I
just slid into
a snowbank and drove away from it. But yeah.
Dark ice or black ice on roads and sidewalks.
Okie dokie. Let's do a mailbag.
On March 11, that's tomorrow, March 11, 7 p.m., the Rochester Civil War Roundtable features a program at the History Center on West Circle Drive. And this is from Sharon Crom, the program director of the Civil War Roundtable, and her husband, the president, Dick. They run a great, great program. So tomorrow, March 11, it's the story of Barbara Fritchie, a Civil War heroine. Now, that's heroine like a heroic woman. It's not heroine like the contraband. And Fritchie was a woman of conviction. She spoke her mind. She stood up to Stonewall Jackson, that was a Confederate general, and became a symbol of patriotism. To do that where she lived took a lot of courage. And so the program will be at the History Center. And West Circle Drive, 7 p.m., the public's invited. Always a good show.
All right.
Then another mailbag. Wayne sent this about the Obama administration in the press. And if people are interested in it, just Google the Committee to Protect Journalists, the Committee to Protect Journalists. And, Andy, you and I have covered the journalistic oppression that the Obama administration has committed of spying and telephones and emails and threats to journalists, print and electronic media,
social media as well.
Media and you know, it's involved the NSA and it's involved Cheryl Atkinson and James Rosen at Fox and a New York Times reporter. The Obama administration is very unfriendly to the press. The press is beginning to notice that this organization is composed of journalists that are doing something about it and speaking out and fighting it, but
it certainly is not a partisan publication that we looked at either.
No,
it was very fair assessment of the issue.
And in fact, one of the people on the committee, a courageous guy, is a journalism professor. So, but I'm still surprised journalists aren't angrier about it. But the Obama administration plays for keeps, and maybe we'll talk about it later, but now they're even going after a Democrat, Menendez, a New Jersey senator who's spoken out vehemently against President Obama's Cuban policy and Middle East policy and Iran policy and his refusal to talk about Islamic extremists. And now the Department of Justice is bringing charges against him or telling him they're investigating him. And to me, that's another shut up, well, you know what's good for you.
Playing hardball, as I say. The report that was given to us by Wayne, a couple of just real interesting little tidbits to glean from it. Most of the issues I was already aware of, had already read.
Yeah, we've been covering that for, a couple years.
What it did do was a really good job of showing that there's a culture within the White House that has spread down through the various departments and agencies to the point where there's a great deal of fear even among people who are in lower echelons of the federal government to speak to anybody who is in the media because they fear that they are being watched continually. They actually have, and this goes back to the old Soviet-style way of keeping tabs on your neighbors. You know, you'd have your little neighborhood. There was a word for that in Russian, that you would tattletale on your neighbors if they were disloyal. And that is an actual bona fide government program. Now, it's been highly reported, but it's created a culture of fear within the federal government. And the impact has spread beyond just the idea of stopping the transmission or leakage of sensitive and classified data. It's down to the point where people are afraid to speak about waste, fraud, and other issues mm-hmm. that need to be. They are not state secrets. They are accountability issues, and it's making it extraordinarily difficult for the press to do its job in holding the government accountable because it has very little access to the information it needs in order to hold the government accountable.
That's right. And then you saw what happened, even witnesses in some of the congressional hearings on alleged scandals, they always say so-called scandals, people, whistleblowers, like you say. It's terrible. It's totalitarian. And yet they keep saying we are the most transparent government in history. That's just an absolute lie.
Yeah, and this article does a great job of showing that, this White House has website after website after website of material it produces that are designed to portray the White House and this administration in a positive light. And they say, well, if you want information, just go to the website. You can't find the naysayer within the haystack who will shed this administration in a less than positive light. And if the only information you have is the information they provide, how the heck could you ever offer any criticism? It's a very Orwellian, scary
thing.
That's
right. And later we'll get to the Hillary email thing, which is another attempt to cover information and be less than transparent.
Okay. And very quickly, another mailbag, I better say. About Obamacare, received this and a very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal called A Lull Before the Obamacare Rate Storm. And it ties in with the CBO office just yesterday kicking out a report that showed down the road some big spikes are expected in the cost of the Affordable Care Act. And it says a lot of this is due to two temporary programs that were part of the Affordability Care Act, risk corridors and reinsurance, both set to expire on January 1st, 2017, and so by the fall of next year, this should show up in the premiums that people will start to see. And these were government programs designed to hold down the cost of the insurance offered through the state exchanges and the federal exchange. And basically what it said is if you have somebody who has an expensive health condition, that insurance would be removed from the insurer's responsibility and go back to the federal government to pay, and those will expire. And so now the insurance mm-hmm. companies will have to factor that into their tables, their actuarial tables, and that will cause a spike in those insurance rates that are offered. It's a really interesting article, and it's yet another issue that will be haunting this Obamacare down the road, that it was, you know, the way it was cobbled together and put together.
And so that can't help 2016 elections
them. But the problem is the data won't be coming out until November 2016, okay. So it'll be past the point where the voters go to the polls. So no.
Unless people leak it.
Leak it and risk being prosecuted under an espionage act. All right. It's 18 past 10 o'clock, 46 degrees at KROC AM, Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. Catering. They want us to tell you and remind you, because now is the time if you're planning that graduation party, and those who have done it recently know that your opportunities to get the really tasty stuff served at your graduation party, the dates get filled up really fast. So 285-0501. Give them a ring if you want to have Roscoe's Catering. And they can take care of you with all their delicious barbecue treats, all the sides, whatever you want. Tell them. They'll figure it out for you, and you'll have a wonderful party.
And I took Mary's birthday card. Tell them when your birthday is. They keep track, send you a card, give you a deal, and help pay for your next meal, takeout or in. So I took Mary's card down and got some sides. I got baked beans, of course, and I got the coleslaw and then the potato salad and some pulled chicken and other good stuff. And you can't go wrong at Roscoe's.
Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. North location right now, open up by Shopko North, and darn it, Steve's got to give us a call pretty soon because with this warm weather, got to get that mm-hmm. root beer stand open. Roscoe's Root Beer and Rib. Your official Weather Eye forecast is pretty dang nice. Low 60s today with sunshine, down to about 30 tonight. Look for more sunshine tomorrow and a high around 55 degrees. Wednesday night, low around 35. We get to Thursday, we could have a high around 65 degrees. More sun on Friday with a high in the low 60s. We'll cool down a little bit Saturday with a high of about 50. And then back up to about 60 with sunshine on Sunday. It hasn't, at least the end of it is nowhere near in sight at this point. So enjoy it while it lasts. There's a typical Minnesota assessment of the weather. 46 in the downtown right now with sunshine at KROC AM. It's 22 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Andy Brownell. Tom Ostrom's here. 282-1234 is our number if you want to join the conversation. And I know you got a bunch of stuff. What do you want to start with, Tom?
Well, it's as usual when something happens. President Obama, with the Hillary emails, that evidently she had her own server. She did her emails at home, even government documents. And the Benghazi Committee in Congress is trying to get at some of that. The Benghazi, the emails now that Hillary's released say nothing about Benghazi, say nothing about trips she took that there are photographs of showing her on her computer devices. President Obama said when confronted by this by a reporter what he always said. He said it about the gun running. He said it about the IRS. He said about the same thing. He says, "Oh, when did I find out? Oh, when you did. I just read it in the newspapers." Sure, but now we know Obama was sending emails to Hillary, and she was sending them to him. And he said, "Well, I don't know anything about computers." And his press secretary said, "Oh, well, he has emailed her, but it was innocuous things." And even I know, Andy, as dumb as I am about computers, if the computer says .gov, then it's government. If it says .org or .net, it isn't. And Hillary's notes to the president were .everything
whatever
but gov.
Else.
And
they're probably were at, kinds. They're probably like at Hillary.com or something, because
yeah,
she had her own server.
Several. And so I guess Hillary Clinton is going to speak out on this and answer questions, but Obama said, "I just knew when I read in the papers," and Josh Ernst evidently didn't get that message. And he said, "Well, he's been emailing her, but on things that not related to the government." He didn't know about how computers work, but he wants to run the internet system.
Okay.
I noticed.
But if you go back to the summer of 2008 and even into 2007, this president was walking around with a BlackBerry and trying to, almost every photograph he was taken of him, he had some electronic device with him on purpose because he was trying to portray himself as hip to this emerging social media culture and the younger voter that he was trying to attract. And they made a big, big deal when he first went into the White House about how he had to give up his beloved BlackBerry because it didn't match up with what the government was using for its email servers. And he had to use a more secure device. And it was a big deal when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back to remembering that happening in early 2009, and I go to Hillary Clinton, Rodham Clinton being the Secretary of State, and she is there had to be an insistence on her part to use her own email server. Because if the President of the United States was forced to give up his device because it was not as secure
mm-hmm.
as what the government needed to be using, how the heck did that not get down to the Secretary of State? And how did the staffers, the administration within the Secretary of State's department, the State Department, not insist to Hillary Rodham Clinton that you have to stop using this device for this official business? This needs to be on the government server.
Well,
and there's a whole bunch of answers that have not, or questions that have not been answered.
Not only that, but those staffers that selected and pruned the emails that they suddenly decided to send, sources.
Said, that being said, Thomas,
so they got to be subpoenaed too. But you can't. Still, they won't get everything thereafter.
As big as deal as this actually is, as far as accountability is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to November 2016, I have absolutely zero confidence that the voters will care.
And you know what else they always say? Well, Bush did it, and Secretary of State Colin Powell did it. Everybody did it, you know. And Hillary, yeah, she's just a history of fraud and corruption, the Whitewater, you know, and, of course, Benghazi. Oh, by the way, the press is reaffirming your perceptive nature, Andrew. You said on our last show, mark my words, you said, the media will call it Emailgate. Well, they are
there now.
Yeah, so they must have heard the show, Andrew.
Should have trademarked it.
Yeah, so she's been a crook all her life and gotten away with so many things.
Thomas, we have a caller.
Oh, and some Democrats are saying, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, she's got to come out and she's got to explain because she's the leading candidate for the presidency on the Democrat ticket and more popular than any of the candidates. Well, I wonder if this will sink her little ship.
But you know what? To be honest with
you, I don't think so.
No, I do think she should because I think it's outrageous that this is going on and on again and again and again, that these key issues, the way you dismiss them is to just go, nobody cares about those hardcore Republicans, those Tea Party people. Nobody cares. And it, but the it works.
Yeah,
so
it does.
She should do it. I mean, for her sake, if she just keeps her mouth shut, the storm will pass and the voters won't care.
Sure.
That's me being a very cynical person.
And the inept leadership of the Republicans in the Senate and the House, they've caved on amnesties. They've caved on immigration. They've caved on the budget. They are absolutely inarticulate, incompetent. And I don't depend on them, even Kurt Gowdy, for getting to the bottom of this. Nor do I think there'll be enough cooperation with the subpoenaed Freedom of Information Act targets that they will cooperate and be honest.
All right. 282-1234 is our number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yeah, good
morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. Your wife and I were talking last night about, Nixon, remembering Nixon and all the lying and everything with Watergate. And so the wife asked me a question. I didn't know the answer, so I thought maybe I'd bring it to you guys. And my wife said, when did we become a nation of liars?
Well, you asked tough questions.
They don't even call it lying anymore. They call it Pinocchios or whatever, But
to be honest with you, though, it's been the accusations of lies and the accusation of cover-ups and the accusations of partisanship have been part of our republic since the very beginning. The difference today is that I think that the camps are so thoroughly entrenched in their own philosophies that they're unwilling to find any wiggle room at all to work with each other, and they would rather just sit back and throw the accusations around and instead of leading.
But your wife has a good point, too, because the government officials are so used to lying that they've coined phrases to dismiss even that when they're caught. A press spokesperson will say, he misspoke. In other words, he lied.
I have no recollection.
Or we have no credible evidence. We have evidence, but no credible evidence.
It's our fault, though.
And then critics won't even say they're lying. They'll say, well, they're disingenuous. So it's hard to tell to answer your wife.
But we as citizens allow it to happen. We elect these clowns every time. We let them get away with it.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Hey, great. Thanks for the call. We have to take a break for news. We don't have time for that. We can maybe talk about that for the news break.
Did you get it in just 30 seconds?
No. 47 degrees in the downtown. Carol's Cup, Carol's Corner, the subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel. And be sure to like them on Facebook. They put stuff up there where they want to try out a new flavor on the popcorn or whatever new ideas, new tricks and treats they might have down there. In the subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel, you can find out about it first by going to their Facebook page and liking them at Carol's Cup, Carol's Corn.
Oh, that's right. And, they've got gift cards, too, and they'll plan parties for you, too, with their wonderful confectionery sundries and great popcorn, so many varieties and kinds. And, as I said, they have gift cards, too. And then they've got the hours now. You can go down to Carol's Cup and get that great and healthy, tasty yogurt. Monday through Thursday, they're there from 9 o'clock until the evening, and on Friday from 9 a.m. till into the evening. Saturday, they're there at noon, and they're into the evening. And Sunday, the yogurt's cup opens at 3 and then into the evening. And if you're nice, they might let you into the popcorn shop.
That's Carol's Cup and Carol's Corn. They are in the subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel. News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning, I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester Today with Tom Ostrom. It's Tuesday, 282-1234, and I'm just going to go on a tirade, Tom. I almost started it before the news break, but I might as well. You're going after the Republicans, and I'm going to go this latest business about the Homeland Security Department budget and the immigration issue. This is what they do every single time. They didn't have the votes. They never had the votes. Don't go into the fight unless you have a shot at having the votes, because when you have to back away from it and acquiesce, it looks worse than it could have ever looked before.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they cannot get that through their heads just amazes me. Build a coalition, put the votes together, then mount the full frontal assault against the Obama administration. Make the bill go to his desk. But if you don't have the votes to get it to his desk, don't do it. Because then you look weak. And now Boehner looks really weak.
No, sure.
McConnell looks really weak.
Ma'am.
They can't round up. I don't get it. I don't understand their lack of strategic thinking in Washington, D.C. just never fails to amaze me.
Yeah, what's new? They got the Keystone bill to Obama, and he vetoed it while oil tanker trains are crashing and burning, the environmentalist. But you're right. They're absolutely inept. But Republicans don't stand together. Some Republicans always vote for the Democrats. The Democrats are united. Maybe they're afraid of the administration.
That's the world you live in.
That's the world we live in. And it is ineptness. Even Trey Gowdy, who's heading the new Benghazi investigation, he knew about Hillary's secret server 6 months ago. What did he do? I thought he was a smart prosecutor. He went right to Hillary's staff and asked them questions before even the general committee was informed. Yeah, we don't know what to do with Republicans. Now, Hillary's, too, her emails, they're serious because this is national security trouble if it can be hacked, if her servers could be hacked. And you know what that hypocrite did? She fired a U.S. ambassador to Kenya. Why? Because he was using his own emails for government communication. And yet she kept doing it. But they get away with everything, and the Republicans just drop the ball.
How come somebody higher than her? Because she does have to answer to somebody higher than her. It's called the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Insist that it had to stop.
Because he hadn't read it in the paper yet.
I don't buy into that at all.
I know it. I'm being funny.
I know you're. But that's the entire in the business about security. If they come out and tell us that her server, don't worry about my server, and this is not me quoting any source, this is all speculation on my part. If the next thing that they come out with in defense of this is don't worry, they put in top-notch security and encryption and the whole works, and the stuff that was in Hillary's closet with that computer that was back there was just as good as anything that the State Department had. That kind of takes away the argument that this was just an oversight, that we were moving things from one place to another and we forgot to move everything back over to the government computers. That would kind of negate that argument.
Oh, that's right. And it's a national security thing if she was hacked. But, you know, another problem with emails over there, her staff who ran interference for her to cover up embarrassing things, no Benghazi information ever got from the State Department to the Benghazi committees, because Hillary had all that stuff on her server. And I always like Michelle Bachmann. You don't, I know, but or as much as I do. But Representative Bachmann brought up one time all the Muslim advisors that President Obama has over in the executive branch. And one of Hillary's advisors is Huma Abedin, a Muslim woman who was married to that Wiener, who has a perfect name for himself. And she has private emails. She is one of Hillary's advisors, and she has connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. Her father does. Her mother does. Her mother and she are in favor of Sharia law. What are on her emails? What did she find out coming from the Middle East and coming to Hillary and from Hillary to her and back? But if you bring stuff like that up, you're called a conspiracy theorist, which I am. And so there's more to be said. But if the press gets mad enough because they're being abused and gets mad enough because they're lied to, maybe something will come of this. And you're right. The Republicans will have need all the help they can get to cope with this effectively.
You have every right to have a private email account. Any government official can certainly have private email accounts. But any government business is supposed to take place through official channels through the government servers. Now, if this aid to Hillary is dealing with non-governmental issues, her own personal family issues, that should not be on the government.
I doubt it. She's an activist in the Muslim cause.
Okay, but if it's outside of government operations and government duties, then it should not be on the government.
Got to look at them, though, first to see.
Well, that's the issue that we deal with today. I mean, if without probable cause to subpoena, you're going to have a difficult time ever looking at somebody's personal emails. Although the government can look at the personal emails of journalists, they seem to be able to cast a broad net in that case.
They do.
One other criticism of the Republicans I'm going to offer you, and you may disagree with this completely, and you and I may just start throwing punches at each other, but that's okay. I think that this open letter to the Iranians by the 47 Republicans in the Senate was a misstep. I think that crossed over a line that didn't need to be crossed at this point. I don't understand what they're trying to prove by doing that. And I think the president actually made a point, and I know he was trying to be ironic when he made it, is that you find that these Senate Republicans have aligned themselves with the Supreme Leader and the Revolutionary Guard within the government of Iran, and to try to scuttle any sort of agreement that could be formed. Whether or not that agreement is a good deal, and what, I mean, that's all off the table, because I cannot judge that at this point, because the talks are ongoing. But to jump into the fray at this point in the discussions seems like you went over a line.
Boy, you're right, Andrew. We disagree vehemently on this. First of all, Obama said the Republicans are catering to the hardliners. So are he and Kerry. They're giving them everything, evidently, that they want to get an agreement. They're catering to them. And while Obama gets mad at our allies, like General Sisi in Egypt, and I got a lot to say about that, and gets mad at our allies like Netanyahu, they're kissing the rings of these monsters in Iran, and yet he blamed the Republicans. Now, the Republicans had to do this. Harry Reid says, oh, they don't like Obama. Well, they don't like his policies. And the White House spokesman, see, Obama has told Congress he has contempt for him. The Senate has a crucial role in foreign policy, and Obama has told them, I don't care about your role. I'm not going to sign anything you send me about your opinions or any treaties you think this is. I'm going to veto anything you send me, so shut up. This will be an executive act, too. It won't be a treaty. So the Republicans, now here's where they have to stand up. They have a foreign policy role. They shouldn't sit back and take those insults and take these agreements if they disagree with them. And these Republicans said, what we did was inform Iran that this president isn't dealing with us, but he has to if it's a treaty. And when he's out of office, if it's not a treaty, we can cancel it. So you better know how our system works. And one more thing.
But you got to admit that's an extraordinary measure to take.
I don't think so at all, because the Senate is being told they have no part to play in foreign policy. They've been insulted. They've been dissed. And they say, we're going to head you off because we don't like your policies. And look at this. People don't remember their history, Andy. When President Reagan wanted to support the non-communist Contras in Nicaragua, what did the Democrats do? They sent a Dear Comandante letter to the communist Sandinistas. We support you, not Reagan. They told Gorbachev, we support you, not Reagan. Conyers, a crook from Michigan, right, signed the letter. And Democrats like Senator Kerry and Harkin of Iowa went down and talked to the communists and said, here's how you can head off Reagan's policies. And then the Democrats, the Boland Amendment, the Democrats passed a law that Reagan couldn't fund the non-communists, and they made it a law. And then when Ollie North, Reagan's security advisor, started to get a scheme to fund the non-communists, they nailed him, and they tried to prosecute him, and they had him before Congress. And they were helping the terrorists, they were helping communists, and they had North in front of that committee. That's how he got famous. He had his uniform on, and they accused him of nasty stuff like Obama does Republicans. And North said, you people don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know that you're helping terrorists. Well, how do you know they're terrorists? Because he said, I've gotten threatening letters from my family, and I've had to build a fence to protect my family because they're after me. And the Democrats then investigated to see who paid for the fence so they could nail him. So I love this.
Okay. Well, you make some very great points there. I'll concede that the Nicaragua connection, I forgot all about that. Yeah. And that was an excellent point.
Ostrom never forgets. And our Republicans are too dang inept and ignorant to bring that up. They couldn't argue it. Yeah. Your point is good, too. I mean, many will agree with you that that's an infringement on necessary diplomacy. But, I mean, that's obviously a good point.
But let me throw another one at you, though, as far as strategy is concerned and political strategy.
Well,
now,
forget that. They don't have that.
Now, when this goes south and there is no deal and whatever the ramifications of that are, you just handed the president a really wonderful excuse on a platter. Look, I was this close to world peace. I almost had the Iranians ready to disarm, and all this would have been if those dang Republicans had not stepped in there and sent that letter.
Oh, that the Iranian feelings were hurt, and so they took revenge on poor Obama. They're taking revenge on him already. Well, sure, they'll blame the Republicans, very big. And I hope Republicans, I thought Kurt Gowdy could do it. I hope Republicans get somebody who can stand before a camera and enunciate an argument. But until they do, you're right. they're lost. I don't care what they do.
All right.
And if they don't do anything, say, well, if we'd have had help from the Rio GOP, if they were concerned with this, he should have told us. Ah.
All right.
Boy. Good. Yeah, Andy. Oh, I wish they would have debates like you and I have in a friendly manner right on the Senate floor with people
yes.
who can enunciate and articulate something.
Lack of leadership, Thomas. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And actually, this whole issue, and one thing I will agree especially on, and I'm going to concede right away, your Nicaragua point was on spot. I completely spaced that. But the idea of the way the president has dealt with Congress contributed to this action by the Senate Republicans. If there had been some sort of relationship between the president and the leadership on Capitol Hill, none of it would have happened. They would have been able to work behind channels to come up with some sort of cooperative arrangement. And this lack of ability of this president to work with the other branches of our government, both judicial and legislative, have worsened the partisan gridlock that has been getting worse for decades now, but he's taken it to a whole other level. So I'll completely agree on that point.
Yeah.
You know what? We have to take our break. Look, you didn't even punch me. That's good.
Oh, well, Andrew, I always enjoy our discussions when we agree and when we have different views. And,
so do
and our callers contribute to that. If that could take place on the floor of Congress, as you say, maybe something would get accomplished.
I enjoyed it as well, Tom. 47 in the downtown with sunshine at KROC AM. I'll have a look at the weather I forecast in a moment, and we'll be right back.
Now, your weather I forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
A beautiful day, sunshine. We should make it to the low 60s, a low tonight of 30, and then a high tomorrow around 55 degrees, down to 35 Wednesday night. Another set of beautiful days on Thursday and on Friday. Mid-60s Thursday, low 60s again on Friday. We'll see the sun both days. We'll continue to see the sun this weekend. We're looking for a high of 50 Saturday and a high around 60 on Sunday. Right now, 47 in the downtown, KROC AM. It's 7 away from 11 o'clock. I'm Andy Brownell with my friend Tom Ostrom, and you can join us as well at 282-1234. Tom, we've had a caller on hold all the way through the news break, so we'll go straight to the phones. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Just one thing is it's Trey Gowdy.
What did I say?
Kirk.
Kurt Gowdy is a broadcaster, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was in the heat of the moment.
I just said that to see if any caller would catch it, but thank you.
Well, you said it three times. So I better tell you.
Well, the other day I was calling Scott Walker, Todd Walker.
Yeah. But have you got something else for us?
On Iran? Actually, you know, there's a bunch of deadlines that have been passed. You know, Congress has a bill to do, you know, the sanctions, increase sanctions, and basically Obama's got his own thing he's trying to do, and this is all that's going on now is just a way for him to keep, you know, passing up these deadlines of when Congress says, okay, we're going to pass our bill now, you know. And so it actually, the deal that Obama's doing, from what, you know, leaks out about it, because he doesn't really, all the details aren't really given out, it's a really, really bad deal. So it's like no deal. If his deal is not the deal, we're better off than if we had it.
So,
well, you know, too, that remember the White House cautioned Netanyahu, who paid no attention to it, not to reveal any elements of the agreements they're talking about, which means they know they're bad. But how do we know, though, about the deal so far that you think is bad?
Well, there was, I can't remember who it was, what it was, but there was something that came out, and it was some senators or Congress or, you know, some other on the other side. I can't remember the detail about
that. I think part of it was that somebody in Israel leaked some of this, and that was why the Obama administration kind of shut them out of the information loop as well.
Yeah, it was an ambassador or something like
okay.
that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, it's he's fighting awfully hard for it.
Yes, that's true. Very good. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Tom, so the president here is proposing with executive action to throw the weight and good faith of the U.S. government into a deal with the Iranians. Once again, we come up to this whole separation of powers business. And I know what the Senate Republicans said is factual. their open letter was factual, that he lacks the authority to make this stick. Because it is not a treaty. It's not been ratified by Congress. It's an executive action. But so it could actually be overturned by Congress as well.
Yes.
But he would not sign that legislation. But if they could come up with a veto-proof majority, they could overturn it.
That's right. And you've mentioned before how difficult it is for Republicans to ever accomplish that. But you're right. President Obama doesn't want a treaty. He doesn't want. He told the Senate, "I don't care what you think. I don't want it to be a treaty. And if you send me any of your ideas, I'll veto them." Yeah, what kind of an attitude is that? But the GOP is saying, "Well, when you leave office, then we can change it." And I want the Iranians to know that, so they get sensible if they want an agreement. But the politics. Yeah. Every time Republicans do something, the Democrats call it a political stunt. But boy, the Democrats are great at political stunts too.
Well, your point is also very valid there. That if the Iranians were come to the table and actually cut the deal that would satisfy our national security needs, which would be a halt to the weapons activity, Congress would be probably gladly ratify that deal.
Sure.
But this is not what we're talking about here.
No, and the Israelis say that you got to promise Iran not to have a nuclear weapon for a decade, and after that you can. So
in other words, we'll kick it down the road, the can down the road again.
Yeah.
All right, we have a couple more calls, Tom. We'll jump in there again. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I'll make this concise. First thing, this call is on behalf of my children and my grandchildren. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent. Mr. Netanyahu, for 50 years, has been an honest, transparent leader. And he has, he even could lose his own election because he has the audacity to care enough to have safety and peace. He doesn't tell secrets, but he tells it like it is, which is the way a lot of people really do like it. Multiple people, a lot of people have told me that they didn't think it was a good idea, but they didn't really understand it. After his speech, some of those same people said they so appreciated it because they now had a much better understanding of what was going on, and they appreciated the risks that were entailed with it. And, you know, that is one of the problems of the administration that's so transparent. They don't tell you anything, and then when they do tell you something, it's a lie. So the situation now is many people just don't trust the administration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Credibility is a big issue. You're right.
Yep. Thank you.
That's right.
Thanks a lot.
Why would we trust somebody with our lives?
Okay.
Okay, we have a bad connection, but thanks for calling in. Good morning, you're on KROC.
You look up LaRaza yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Last week I talked to you about LaRaza.
No.
But we're familiar with it. They're a very militant group, right, and have a lot of influence in the desert states, yeah.
Say, forget about the 444 days that our folks were tortured over in Iran, who did the torturing and where they are now. They're in the leadership up there in Iran.
The
same folks.
What is his name?
And they forget
Supreme
about
Leader
what they did in England as an example. Shooting from the embassy, I believe that was Iran that was doing that. These people are a bunch of liars, and so what are we supposed to do, lie back to them? Maybe that's not a bad idea.
It's a quandary, because the question is, if you're not going to deal with them, how are you going to stop them from getting the weapon? Because there are obviously people willing to work with the Iranians. I'm going to point to Vladimir Putin specifically to give them the materials they need to develop the weapons. And a military option to stop them does not seem to be all that viable at this point. It might have been 5 years ago, but at this point it doesn't seem all that viable. So the choices are slim.
Well, if we had any leadership up in the White House, maybe things would be different.
All right.
We'll see you.
Yeah,
thanks for the call.
We got to run.
Thank you.
Tom, we'll see you. No, we won't. You're gone Friday. We'll see you next week.
I'm gone on assignment. See you next week.
Yep. KROC AM Rochester. It is 11 o'clock.